And joining me right now here on the phone line to go over the latest on the Orlando Magic, who got a big win last night in Philadelphia against the 76ers. This guy was on the call on Bally Sports. He's the play-by-play man for the Orlando Magic. He's my good friend David Steele. David, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Mark. How are you today?
Hey, Magic fans are excited. That was a big win last night, buddy. What did you think?
Thought it was a tremendous comeback. I didn't really see it coming, but you can't count this team out because they just have that never-say-die spirit. But, you know, when you start a game making three of your first 20 shots and you're trailing by 21 points kind of late in the second quarter, It's pretty unusual to come back and win a game. A lot of times you'll see a team fight back and get back in the game, maybe make it a two-possession game or even a one-possession game, but very difficult to pull it off, you know, to come back, get back in the game, and then climb. That last climb is the most difficult because, you know, Philadelphia is a great team, and you would kind of expect that they would have gotten a wake-up call when the Magic were able to get back in the game. But then a lot of times the great teams turn it up at the end and go ahead and secure a victory. But it wasn't to be for Philadelphia. It was a great win for the Magic.
When did it start clicking for the Magic when they turned it around in this game?
Well, I guess the second quarter. The first quarter was so bad, but, you know, they kind of eased back in it in the second quarter. It was Franz Wagner in the second quarter that kind of spearheaded that deal, and I guess Paolo had a great second quarter, too, so the two young guys. Mm-hmm. And then in the third, they kicked it up another notch. Banchero put the team on his shoulders in that third quarter. He made some huge plays, knocked down a couple of threes, and it was a 42-point third quarter for the Magic, 42-28, I think, in the third. So, you know, after that bad start, better second quarter, and then the third quarter was where the Magic kind of started dominating the game.
You see Paolo Banchero every game. You're calling every professional game of his career so far. That's the better way of putting it. What have you seen from him, just maturity so far in the last couple of weeks with him on the Magic?
Yeah, I think that's the you just put your finger on the word. His maturity for a 20-year-old young man is remarkable, and mature in every facet too, Mark. You know, I mean, he's physically mature. You know, if you've seen him up close, you know what a large human being he is. He's big and strong. He does not look like your typical 20-year-old person. And then the mental aspect of it, too. He just is extremely prepared to face what professional sports has to throw at him. I give his parents a lot of credit. I met them when we were out in the West Coast in Portland. They were at the game. And obviously they're quality people and really did a great job with him. He had some good support as a young man growing up. And you know, I think from probably 9th, 10th grade on, maybe even a little earlier than that, people knew that out there that he was going to be special, that he was going to be great, whether it was, you know, as a football player or a basketball player, and he focused on basketball. So, you know, he's been preparing for this for 5-6 years now, and he's able to handle a lot of stuff, a lot of media, a lot of attention. You know, teams are now starting to double team him more often, and he just handles himself so well. It's really impressive.
There was this kind of wild play where he gets the outlet pass. He's there. It's him versus three Philadelphia 76ers player, and he has no fear. All right, don't worry. I got this 5-footer, and he scores. Dude, that's a superstar play. Like, do you see this from him where this guy could become a superstar?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. You know, I do. I think so. I think the Magic have – you know, that guy, you have to have a guy like that if you're going to challenge for championships. And at age 20 to do what he's doing, averaging over 20 points a game and 6 rebounds, he already knows how to get to the free throw line, which that's a big part of being a big-time scorer in the NBA, your ability to get those, you know, those easy points at the foul line. He's already got that knack. He's got so many things already figured out. He's just going to get better and better. And I, you know, it's frightening really to think about what his body is going to look like when he's 25, 26, 27 years old and how advanced his game is going to be. He works hard. He's, you know, he just checks all the boxes. He's going to be a great one.
I know Stan Van Gundy tweeted this out. I don't know if you saw it, where he's talking about, you know, the Magic growing up, they're becoming a better team. A lot of people keep talking about this, where since a certain mark in December, they're a better basketball team. Should we give credit to Markelle Fultz, him being on this roster and helping this team when they really start to take off?
Oh, no question. I think the date, the number you're talking about is at the start of a six-game winning streak in December, mm-hmm. which is about December the 7th, I believe. The team is 15-11. You know, that's a pretty good sample size, 26 games in an 82-game season, you know, and you're 15-11 in your last 26. Mm-hmm. And it corresponds with when Markelle came back. You know, he was back for three or four games prior to the winning streak, getting his, you know, his feet back underneath him, and also getting Cole Anthony back and Jalen Suggs. All three of those guards were out for the first 20, 25 games of the season for the most part. And, you know, it was tough, very difficult, you know, to run anything offensively without really any point guards whatsoever. Franz Wagner got most of the action at that position, and, you know, he's a great player, all-around player, great talent. He can do a lot of things, but I think he was being asked to do too much. But, yeah, I think Markelle is a really big part of it. He kind of ties everything together with his ability to make plays and the way that he sees the floor and the way that he defends out on the perimeter. He's an elite defensive player and an elite playmaker. And, you know, his scoring is sufficient. His scoring is good enough to keep defensive teams honest. So yeah, he's a big part of the success.
He had that runner last night. He drives to the lane, and he, you know, he's left-handed. He likes to go with the left. The last second he goes up with the right. I can't even describe his game, Markelle Fultz. Like, who does he remind you of, if you can, as a basketball player?
Yeah, you know, it is different. It's unique. It's kind of sometimes I wonder if even he knows where he's going next. He kind of just slants left and, you know, and shifts right and glides around. It's almost like his feet are not touching the ground.
No.
He has a great handle, you know. He doesn't lose control of the ball in traffic, and he's able to go pretty much where he wants to go. I don't know. I'm trying to think off the top of my head, Mark. You know, if somebody that can really handle the ball, like Chris Paul currently today, has that kind of shiftiness. And Markelle has great size, too. So he's a special talent. There's a reason he was the number one pick in the draft 5 years ago.
All right, we'll ask the listeners. We'll do it as a poll question because I don't know either. That's very difficult. Who does he remind you of? We will work on this, David Steele. Don't worry. You bring up Franz Wagner. He also feels like he's been in the NBA for 5 years. And then I go, wait a minute. He's only a second-year player, right, David?
Yeah, he's 21 years old. Second year in the NBA. And, you know, I honestly see all-star teams in his future, too. Mm-hmm. I think the Magic have two young players that are going to be Eastern Conference all-star players in the not-too-distant future, similar to what Boston has with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, you know, two long wing players that can do everything. And Banchero and Wagner they're bigger than those two guys that the Celtics have. So they just need experience, and, you know, it's the future looks good for those two guys and the team.
There was a game I went to. It was against the Pelicans a couple Fridays ago, and the Magic came out, and they're very sluggish. They couldn't hit a shot. And the only guy stepping up was Franz Wagner. And he kept hitting shots to keep the Magic in the game. And they went on to win that game. That sold it for me. I'm like, this guy's got a bright future. That was it for me, David. Was there a moment for you with Franz Wagner where you're like, okay, this guy's going to be awesome?
I don't know if there was, I can't remember a moment, but when last year, when he was doing early what he was doing, I mean, he came right out of the gate making plays. You know, his ability to handle the basketball at 6'10", make plays for teammates, his decision making, his uncanny knack for getting to the basket. You know, there's nothing flashy about it, but you know, it's just his ability to do all of those things well at such a young age is you know, kind of like Vaquero. Physically, he's not as impressive as Paolo is, but he's very skilled and very smart, very high basketball IQ.
We've talked about this before, but, you know, the Super Bowl's coming up. They're really hyping the Kelce brothers are going against each other. And I'm like, we have two guys that are brothers playing on the same team, Mo and Franz. How crazy is that, where you have two brothers contributing and helping the same basketball team?
It's really cool, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, they're so close, too. They're such good guys, and they're best friends. They're brothers. It's interesting, if you talk to them, they would tell you that they didn't spend a lot of time together, really, over the last, you know, 6 or 7 years. Mo is 4 years older, and so he went away to college, and Franz was, you know, kind of a little guy, seventh, eighth grade or whatever. And so, you know, the age difference is somewhat significant. But now that they're on the same NBA team and they're both professional athletes, they've gotten very close. They do everything together on the road. They are roommates in Winter Park. They have a home in Winter Park that they share time with. And, you know, they're just having a ball. And they're both playing great basketball, too.
Oh.
Great to see Mo play well also.
Mo took Joel Embiid to school on two different and-one plays last night. What did you think of Mo's game last night?
Amazing, really. And, you know, he did the same thing against Chicago Saturday night. You know, he got the magic back in that game. He played a big role in that. That was, you know, again, one of those games that I mentioned early. Sometimes you fall behind and then fight back and you don't have quite enough to win the game. But he brings that energy and that enthusiasm, and it's contagious. And, you know, he can come off the bench. He's a great bench player because, you know, you're going to get the same thing from Mo Wagner, whether he starts, comes off the bench, plays 5 minutes or 25 minutes or 35 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, he just is that kind of guy. He is what he is. He's a great teammate, great team player. And, you know, what's not to like about him? Unless you're the other team, he gets under your skin quite often.
We need a sitcom on television, the two brothers living in Winter Park. That's what it's like.
It's got to be. It's got to be just fascinating. You're right. I'd love to have a camera in there. That would be great. That's a good idea.
You're like, come on, we're going to be late to practice. He's like, nah, give me 5 minutes. Like, you can just see the shenanigans with the two brothers. We're here with David Steele. He is the play-by-play voice of the Orlando Magic. Jonathan Isaac came back after 900 days off the court. There's a part of me, I'll be honest with you, I didn't think he was going to play again for the Magic. What were your thoughts? 900 days, David.
Well, I had my doubts like everybody else, including Jonathan, at, you know, various times over the last 2.5 years. You know, it just took him so long to come back from what was really his second injury. You know, he's had three significant injuries now, and the most recent two were the horrible left knee injury. It was really beyond an ACL tear. There were things that were, you know, that were damaged that that required more time and healing. And then he had a hamstring tear in his rehab process. So, you know, that's why it took him so long to come back. But I think a lot of people would have not been able to fight through all of that. And to his credit, you know, he stayed with it. And I just love the fact that he's back. And I see a little frustration on his face. He wants to play more.
Yeah.
I think he feels like he's ready to play more, get more minutes. But the team is going to be, and rightfully so, they're going to be very cautious with him, very careful with him, because he's only 25 years old, you know, and he's got, if he can stay healthy, he's got an incredible future ahead of him. Mm. And, you know, we've talked about Wagner and Vaquero and Markelle Fultz, but you throw that into the mix also, a healthy Jonathan Isaac who can play 25 or 30 minutes a night. And you've got a pretty scary roster with those guys.
Do the Magic have the tallest roster in the NBA?
I think it is this year. Yeah, I think we did something on that early in the season. Hmm. And they certainly, you know, can throw the longest roster out there with positionless players, you know, because Franz can play the guard at 6'10", Franz Wagner. So, you know, a lineup of Fultz and Wagner and Paolo Vaquero, Jonathan Isaac, Wendell Carter Jr., that's a lot of length.
How are
Bowl at 7'2"?
David, how are we going to make the NBA? I'm 5'11".
Not going to happen, Mark. Not going to happen. I can tell you right now. Just forget that dream.
Why can't I be?
We're a foot too short. We're a foot too short.
We should have played soccer, David. Thinking in hindsight, we should have done that. Oh, man.
That basketball is more fun.
It is. It is so much more fun. Tell me about the job real quick of Jamal Mosley and what he's done this season.
Well, you know, he just stays with it. His positivity is really remarkable, even in the lowest of times, you know, when you're 5-20. He never wavered in his belief in the young guys. And, you know, he's just that guy. He's that encourager. Now he's learning when to crack the whip, I think, a little bit and be more than just, the assistant coach that's become everybody's friend. He's had to make that transition, you know, where he's making the big decisions and has to come down on guys when they're not doing what they need to do. But, the players love him. I think, you know, they would run through a wall for Jamal Mosley. He's got just a great personality and a great passion for the game.
Can this team get to the playoffs or at least the play-in tournament this year?
Well, I think it's doable. Right now they're four games out of the number 10 spot, which would get them into the play-in tournament. And if they get that far, Mark, then that will mean that they will have been a team that's playing, 10 games over 500 probably from early December to the end of the season. So, you know, that would be a dangerous team. In a one-game, play-in tournament situation, you got to win one game and then win one more to get in. I don't think anybody would want to play that team that has come from 5-20 to 40 wins, 38, 39, 40. I think that's how many it's going to take. So, you know, it means winning a lot of games. It means winning, say, 18 to 20 of your last 31 games. So that's a tall order. But I think that's what it will take to get even to that number 10 spot. But I think it's doable. You know, if you look at 16-11, and if you keep getting a little better and, you know, catch a break here and there, then, you know, you could get very, very close. So, yeah, it's possible.
What's it been like at the Amway Center with the fans seeing winning basketball now?
Well, we've had, I think the number is 12 sellouts this year. Mm. 2013 and 13, 26 games, 12 of the home games have been sold out. So, you know, that's looking up. And even the non-sellout games, there have been great crowds every night. There's definitely a new energy and a new enthusiasm in Central Florida about the basketball team.
I know you've done this for a long time, but do you pinch yourself when you got the best seat in the house watching NBA basketball?
I do occasionally look around and think, how blessed that I have been to do this for 34 years. This is the 34th year that I've been with the Magic broadcasting NBA games. Mm-hmm. It's easy to take it for granted, but I try not to do that. Take in the moment every now and then, maybe during the national anthem or during a timeout of a close game, and just think how lucky, how fortunate, blessed I've been. It's been a blast.
It's really cool. All right, before I let you go, you're there in Philadelphia. You know it's like 80 degrees back here in Florida. You need to come back, buddy. Get out of that snow.
I wish. We got another one. But the worst part is, Mark, you know where we go from here, right?
Where do you go?
Minneapolis.
Oh, do you have a big...
Sub-zero. And I got nothing for that. Nothing.
Do you have a big jacket? Do you have, like, big coat?
I got nothing for -2. There's nothing available for me. I'm just staying in the room.
Like,
bus to hotel, back to bus, to the airplane, home. That's my plan.
Does Jeff Turner, does he go outside or does he just join you?
Oh, no. No, no. No. But they do have skywalks in Minneapolis, so you can move around a little bit and, you know, find your coffee shops and the lunch spot. So, you know, we'll stay warm. I promise you that.
Wait. I have to ask this, and if I don't, the fans are going to kill me. So, was there a Magic fan at the game last night in the Magic jacket and the Eagles hat? Was that part of your broadcast, or am I crazy?
No, he was. He was there, and I actually know the guy.
It's Adam.
Adam, yep, that's him. I did not recognize Adam on the air, and then he tweeted out something that, you know, that he was there. That's who it was. But he's a big Eagles fan, too. And so, you know, he's a Magic fan, an Eagles fan. He had the Eagles toboggan on his head, and I didn't recognize him, but that's who it was.
Yeah, because I looked at him like, that looks like Adam Papagiorgio, and then it was.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
It was. You were right. You were right. I wish I had picked up on it because, you know, he won a we gave him a hat for an Is This Anything suggestion about 2 weeks ago. And so, you know, I could have pointed that out. Well, if he's there Wednesday, we'll see if we can point
we got
him out again.
We got to get him front row. That's what we got to do. We got to make it happen.
Yeah.
Now I'm laughing. Yeah. David Steele.
He may get beat up if he's on the front row. I think we better keep him up in the stands.
Joel Embiid will be like, who's this guy? Get him out of here.
Philly fans are rough.
David Steele, my man, thank you so much for your help and have a great day. All right.
Okay. Thanks, Mark. Good talking to you.